Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go, this is it! This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Bow, bow, bow!
I'm Sam Delaney, so what?
Hi there, welcome along to the latest episode of The Ripley Odyssey. We're looking at the Ripley's Believe It or Not 2020 book, which came out just before Christmas. But hey, it's not just for Christmas, it's forever, if you want it to be.
A lot of people, it's a real shame, but I saw something on YouTube about how a lot of people buy their kids, sort of in haste, a Ripley's Believe It or Not annual for Christmas.
Yeah.
And then as soon as like the 27th or 28th of December, a lot of them are found in sacks at the bottom of the Thames or whatever river you live near. And
yeah.
People take them, they don't know what to do with them. After Christmas Day and Boxing Day, it's all a bit of fun. And then after that, I don't know, it clutters up the house. I don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
The kids read it all. And so it was this horrible, horrible film I saw about how they'd found two copies of Ripley's Believe It or Not in a bag with rocks in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they hooked the tail down with bricks, don't they?
Yeah, and they'd tied it up and they'd put rocks in it and it had sunk to the bottom. And both books, unfortunately, were so water damaged that they were basically useless.
I mean, they could have donated them to a book shelter.
Yeah.
And then someone could have come along and adopted them.
A loving home.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sad, isn't it?
These people are sick, basically. They're sick bastards. And do you know what else? They're ignorant.
Yeah, that as well. Fuck them. Mm. Right. All right, then let's crack on, shall we? We need to find a random number of one of the pages in this book.
The blob.
I've uncaged the blob. It's already here. It's sitting at my feet. I've been stroking it and feeding it treats.
Yeah.
And now
what
it's
sort of
time.
Treats does it like?
Just like little dry roasted peanuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think you mentioned that before.
Yeah. So I'll get it to do its thing.
Go on then.
Just got to give it a smack.
what? Not in a mean way. You just give it a firm snap.
Just show it. Like a jockey. With the whip.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And in a way, they like it.
Yeah. 120.
I'm thinking there's a market for.
What's
if
that?
If I can still exploit some of my old contacts in magazine publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Your Blob, or Blob and Blob Keeping.
Yes,
which
definitely.
Which is a magazine for people who own blobs.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just like a forum for people to get news, updates, tips, nice stories, that sort of thing.
You could have your blob as a monthly. You could also have another one, which is for people who like to show their blobs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In blob shows.
Oh, yeah. Blob shows. National blob shows.
Yeah.
International blob shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the two overlap or not, whether they need to be separate magazines.
I think it would be a pull-out supplement once a year.
In the middle.
Show Blob.
Yeah.
Show Blob. You and your blob. And issue one has a pull-out on the best blob shows of the season. And I'm picturing the cover of you, Andy Dawson, podcasting celebrity, right, with your blob.
Mm.
Maybe, I don't know whether it'd be at home in your rig or out on out in some meadows in the Wearside area. Walking it.
I think maybe we'd be on a penny farthing and it would be sitting on my shoulder and I'd be feeding it a dry roasted nut.
And you'd be just riding around Sunderland.
Yeah.
Showing it off, really.
We'll do it in the sunshine. When we get a bit of sunshine, we'll do it then.
Great.
So, quite ironic, kind of in the tone of what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode, page 120 is a massive picture of a dog. And it says smushed smile, and this dog is called Botox. Pronounced like Botox, it says. And it has its skull squished in the womb. So it's quite an odd-shaped head. Ripley,
what it looks like. I think the best description of the head is when you're in the House of Mirrors at the fair. And it's like two sides of the same head, if you see what I mean, squished together. It's very peculiar. But the best thing about this dog, by a million miles, that you've yet to mention, is that the dog is sporting a very fetching green tie around his neck.
Yeah.
In a bright green colour with three red love hearts down the middle of it. And I think anyone who knows you or I know that one of the things we like most is dogs in ties.
Of course it is, yeah. I mean, it's almost it was almost a magazine we tried to launch, wasn't it?
Yeah, dogs in ties. Dogs in ties. Dogs in ties monthly.
Yeah, it's got three love hearts. I wonder if that's like when a team that's won the Champions League has a star under its badge.
Mm.
Do you think it's something similar to that?
He's won three championships of some sort.
It's got a Hall of Mirrors sort of look about it. It's also got a kind of look, you know, when you get your dog in a headlock sometimes.
Yeah.
And give it a give it a bit of a rub on the head.
They like that.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that about it as well. But he seems very happy. His tongue looks very healthy. He doesn't seem to be bothered that his head's been smashed in the womb.
See that tongue? It reminds me of my dog, Bella's tongue.
Right.
God rest her soul. You're
getting a tongue flashback.
And I don't know this is whether it's a weird feeling or not, but I'm going to open up to you and see if you can relate to this in any way, or if not, maybe one of the cunts as well.
But
when you see a great big pink tongue like that coming out of a dog's mouth, sometimes does it make, when I ate meat, it made me hungry because it looked like a delicious piece of roasted ham.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? That one really does.
It looks like cured meat. I know this is cruel, but I look at that tongue and it looks fucking delicious.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I want to eat that dog's tongue, and I'm not even a meat eater, so it's quite, that's just testament to how delicious it looks.
I mean, I'm sure some of the listeners have bought this book and are reading along with us, and I reckon 95% of them would agree. That is a very edible dog tongue.
Good. I went out on a limb there. I mean, I often open up about things on this podcast, and it's always a gamble as to whether you're going to relate or go, actually, Sam, that's weird
I'm
perverse.
Right with you there.
You're a monster.
Do you reckon do you reckon the nose would be tasty as well?
Yeah, I mean, I look at that nose and I imagine it as, I'm a big fan of licorice. I don't know about you, but I love licorice.
Not really.
And I look at that as a big bit of solid licorice.
Yeah.
licorice and ham on and all.
For me, it's got the kind of consistency of a something from a Bush Tucker challenge from I'm a Celebrity. It looks quite chewy, like a kangaroo's anus almost.
If we did a budget version of I'm a Celebrity where we just sent them to somewhere in the north of England as opposed to, and they go, right, here are our celebs, Mad Lizzie. and Gary Wilmot,
the man one off the crankies.
Now, you have been nominated for the Bush Tucker trial, and here it is. You're going to eat a dog, old Labrador. We found one up the slag heap, right? You're going to eat it bit by bit, though. Tongue first, then nose, then we'll move on to the other bits. Are you ready to do this? Ever eaten an old dog before, Gary Wilmot? No, bet you haven't. Don't worry, it'll be fine. Have you had your injections?
Did I tell you that I was incredibly close to Gary Wilmot's erect nipples a few months ago?
No, tell me about it.
Again, this is another one I've held back, I think. It was last summer when I was down in London for a few days with my daughter. And we
sort of shit that happens in London, isn't it?
Well, exactly. I wasn't expecting it. Took in a couple of shows, and one of them was a musical version of the Mr. Gum books. I don't know if you're
Mr.
familiar
Gum.
With them.
Yeah. Andy Stanton. Yeah,
Andy
I love
Stanton.
Them.
Great
they're
books.
Hilarious.
Great
yeah.
books. So there was a musical version of it on, and Steve First, who plays Lenny Beige.
Oh, yeah, I love Steve First.
Steve's
yeah.
great. He was Mr. Gum. And Gary Wilmot was one of the other supporting characters in it. But he was wearing, it was almost like a flesh-covered top. And I can't remember why. It was supposed to be topless, I assume. But it was very tight, and his nipples were quite erect. And I was in the front row, And I was, you know, within about 6 feet of
Wilmot. If they'd become Nichols. Any more erect, they could have touched you.
They could have could have had my eye out.
Yeah.
Couldn't they? But, yeah. How did we get onto that? Oh, yeah, Northern dog eating.
Northern,
on the
I'm a celebrity. I'm a southern celebrity. Get me out of the north.
Get me out of the north. I'm going to predict that little bit you said there about eating the dog is going to be one of the most controversial things that's happened on this podcast.
What?
That's,
well, no.
Yeah.
It's this morning all over again.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think you crossed the line there.
Well, I wasn't saying that we should eat a dog.
Yeah,
I was,
you were.
It was a mad flight of fancy in which I was imagining a television show in which Gary Wilmot was invited to eat a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, may I stress, this is not any kind of world I want to live in.
Okay,
where Gary Wilmot or anyone else wants to eat a dog. I'm a dog lover. I would never eat a dog. And I say to our Korean cousins that, you know, I respect your culture. And there is nothing to say that ours is any better than yours, but I am disgusted by dog eating, and right. I would urge you to knock it on the head. In fact, go full vegetarian like me.
Yeah, or even vegan. Do you think it's a matter of time before you become vegan, Sam?
I'm thinking about it a lot recently, but my family aren't keen at all.
Oh, really? So you've sort of leapfrogged your wife
I have
who
in
started
a way.
As the veggie.
I have, in a way, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about it a lot. I think probably when you're veggie, you tend to eat more eggs for the protein content.
Right, yeah. So you want to make life harder for yourself.
Eggs are very versatile and volatile, as I was going to say. But a vegan friend of mine did used to eat eggs because he said, I'm not proper vegan. Mm-hmm. He said, I just don't eat anything that is animal bothering.
Right.
He goes, if it bothers an animal, I'm not having it.
Right.
And he went, but if you get organic free-range eggs, I don't see that as bothering an animal because the egg's just fallen out of the fucking chicken.
Byproduct.
Chicken doesn't care what you do with that afterwards.
Like, kind of like eating chicken shit almost.
Exactly. Which you probably would do again. Yeah. So, and there's probably plenty of protein in that. So if I could find a way of continuing with the eggs, yeah, maybe I'll do it.
Well, you don't
maybe
have to have these labels. Do what you want. Be mostly vegan and eat eggs.
I'm non-binary. That's what people don't understand. I'm non-binary when it comes to my eating habits.
Right.
Hey, talking of my personal lifestyle choices.
Yeah, well, why not, yeah.
I'm seriously researching getting a office/podcasting rig. Like we've always talked about.
In the garden.
I've done my research. I've even had phone calls from overly keen salespeople who have spotted me looking at their website online.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about it, mate. Imagine the rig that I could establish out in my back garden. They're surprisingly affordable. Although, if there are any companies out there who are involved in the world of office garden pods, then, or log cabins, please do get in touch.
There was someone. Was there not someone who was going to do you a deal?
A builder, I think, said that he could put it together. I'll look back. If he's listening, get back in touch. If not, I'm going to look back through our emails. Because they send some of these places, you buy it flat pack. And a bloke spoke to this morning. I'd seen his prices and I was astounded by how much cheaper they were by anyone else online. So I gave him a call and then I established only halfway through the call that the reason they were cheaper is that he doesn't do assembly. But he's gone, no, we don't assemble them, but don't worry, it's all flat pack. And I said, I'm fucking looking at them, they're like whole houses. No, it's just a few panels and it all basically clicks together like Lego. And I'm like, mate, I have to get my mate Todd round just to fucking hang a picture on the wall. I'm that fucking terrible at anything practical. The chance of me putting together this fucking rig in the garden is zero. No, it'll be fine, mate. Don't worry.
It's just like one of them fucking flat pack things from IKEA, but the instruction book's a bit bigger.
Yeah, that is pretty much what he said. Bullshit, isn't it?
You definitely need two people. Whereas usually it says two people, but you can kind of get away with it with one.
This
nine
one you
times
will
out
need
of ten.
Two.
Now and again it'll break and fall apart and you're fucked, but...
I've been in this job 5 years. We've had two deaths from, you know, roof panels falling on people's head. And that's it, which ain't bad going.
Jalapeño. This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Shall we continue with this?
Yeah.
The other side of this pitch, because there's
there's one of my favourite pick. Well, not favourite, but one of the most alarming and striking images in the whole book.
I was going to say one of the most notable pictures in the book. I'll hand over the floor to you, Sam, and you can describe what you can see.
Well, it is a goose. Is it a goose?
It's a goose. Yeah.
It's a goose, and the look on the goose's face is one of extreme alarm, isn't it? Its eyes are wide open and its mouth is gawping. Mm-hmm. And unsurprising, really, because there is an arrow that has gone straight through the cunt's head.
Yeah.
Right? But it's still alive because it has missed all the vital organs. It's one of those. You sometimes hear about people being shot and the bullet passing through their body and not touching anything important. And that is what's happened to this lucky goose. And I like what they do when they do big arrows to really explain what you're seeing in case you don't comprehend it.
Yeah.
And they've done a big red arrow pointing at the arrow, and they've written, "Arrow, just missed vital organs."
And have you noticed as well what the background of the picture is as well, Sam?
A target.
It's a target.
Yeah, put a target behind
the
goose it.
In the middle of the target with the arrow going through its head.
Fucking bullseye. Right?
And it's gone. The arrow's obviously they've cut off the tip and the feather off the arrow, so it's just the shaft. And it's going underneath its eye, and it comes out the other side, I also assume, underneath
I wonder
the
if
eye.
James Whale was involved in this.
Very possibly.
When I told you, James Whale is an expert archer who once threatened to shoot me with an arrow.
You did.
With his bow and arrow.
Yeah, I mean, this was in Plymouth, Massachusetts. This might have been a James Whale holiday.
He gets about.
Yeah.
A goose in Plymouth, Massachusetts survived after being shot in the head with an arrow. Through pure luck, the arrow missed vital organs, and the bird didn't even bleed when it was removed. Mm-hmm. Staff at the New England Wildlife Centre were able to release the fortunate fowl back into the wild a month later.
Say that? I didn't even fucking bleed. Took it straight out.
A fucking blood. I said, "Doc, there's an arrow's gone through my head. Take the cunt out, because I've got a busy schedule on today." And that's what he did. He pulled it clean out, and I just went off on my merry way. Job done.
No intention of bleeding, so, you know.
No fucking... Hey, it's going to take more than that to fucking slow down old Gary Goose here.
They kept the fucker there they kept the fucker there for a month. What they came for the month for? They've pulled it out. He hasn't bled. Let him go.
Hey, Doc. Can I have a quick word? I've been here practically a fucking month now, right? The arrow... It came out weeks ago. Not a drop of fucking blood spilled out of me. And yet I'm sat here like a cunt. The world's still fucking turning, right? I've missed out on God knows how much work, right? You know I'm freelance, so time's money, right? I'm a freelance goose. And, you know, I'm just saying, when are you going to fucking discharge me? Because I'm wasting my fucking time here. There were no vital organs fucking touched, so I don't see the point in it.
Oh man, poor Gary. He'll be alright now though, won't he? He'll have a nice big hole in the side of his head, either side.
Oh yeah, because it's a talking point when he's chatting up the lady geese.
Talking points.
Alright girls, I see a few of you have been eyeing this hole in me head.
Yeah,
funny story actually. Arrow went clean fucking through it.
Didn't even bleed. Right, what else have we got? Anything else of note on that page? I'm just going to go off the headlines. Deadly tinsel. I like the sound of that. A 5-foot-long, venomous, red-bellied black snake wrapped itself around a family Christmas tree at a home in Melbourne, Australia, before being removed by snake catcher Raymond Hoser.
Hello.
Raymond
Hoser. Snake catcher, how can I help?
Oh, Raymond, you've got to come quick. It's a fucking snake's ripped his throat around a Christmas tree.
Nah, calm yourself down. It's no problem. I'm just going to finish my tinny, and then I'll be round in the ute to capture that fucking snake.
What colour is it? It's got a red belly.
Yeah, they're the bad ones.
What else have we got? Anything else? There's some more animal stuff.
Sugar thief. An elephant with a sweet tusk was filmed wandering into a road in Chachanugsau, Thailand, and deliberately blocking traffic. Deliberately. So that it could snatch sugarcane from the backs of trucks as they slowed down. Hey, slow down, con. I'm having some of your sugarcane or you can't go past. The elephant tried to steal from more than a dozen trucks in 2 hours before wandering back into the jungle. I got sweet tooth, what can I say?
I've got 2 hours in my diary and I'm going to use it well, and I'm going to try and steal from up to a dozen trucks if I can.
This is what he told his mates. Where are you going? I'm going into town. What are you doing there? What are you going to do? I've got some humans to fuck about with.
I'm after some sugarcane.
There's a sugarcane delivery coming through town. I'm going to fucking try and nip. I'm going to try and steal the sugarcane off up to 12 trucks. Fancy coming with us? No, I can't fucking be arsed. Fine. But you're not having any of my fucking sugarcane when I come back.
I've got to keep it all up my trunk and then hide it in my guts.
Yeah, so don't come trying to nick it off me at night. Remember, elephants sleep standing up, if you didn't know.
Well, hang on. We've just missed something else very significant on this page. And at the top, it says, it's a picture of, well, I don't know, it looks like a really shiny, glittery
blob.
Ball.
A bit like your blob, but
well,
more
this is
than,
it. It's
like
a blob.
Disco blob.
It's a fucking blob, yeah, disco blob.
Whoa.
And it says, believe it or not, this blob is a single-celled organism. While most unicellular creatures are impossible to see with a naked eye, this one, Valonia ventricosa, also known as bubble algae or sailor's eyeball, can grow more than 2 inches wide. It's a fat blob, Sam. A fat blob.
Fucking lovely. Lovely stuff.
There's all kinds of shit down in the bottom of the sea, isn't it?
It's quite a glamorous blob, isn't it? It's quite a glamorous blob.
Disco.
Yeah. Ever been scuba diving, mate?
I haven't, no. You?
Nah, I don't fancy it. I've been snorkeling.
We might do it as a deep dive. Literally a deep dive.
Yeah, we could put... We're planning... I'm going to call up Acast and tell them we got big plans this year for Top Flight Timeship. We want to be the first podcast to do it live from under the ocean, at the Great Barrier Reef.
This feels more like a Netflix thing, this. Next level.
Yeah.
So that's all good. Fat blob, lovely. Let's do another page, shall we, before we wrap this up?
Okay, all right.
All right, speaking of which, blob... Give us a number. Let's give it a whack. It's chosen 88. 88. Two fat blobs. 88. Whoa, you fucker. What's that?
Oh, my God. We've hit the jackpot.
Oh, I'm just going to read. Well, the headline says...
Read the headline.
Fire fetus.
Ah.
And it says, in Bolivia, dried llama fetuses are set ablaze as an offering to the goddess Mother Earth, Pachamama. Pachamama. This is for you, Pachamama. This is dried fetus from a llama.
Have some of that. It's a fucking llama fetus and it's all dried out. Enough. How you like it?
This is next level from the Korean dog diet thing we were discussing a bit earlier.
Yeah, this is really... Like, you said that what I said was shocking, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is way beyond the prospect of Gary Wilmot eating a dog.
Yeah, nipples out or not.
Who gets a fucking dry fetus of a fucking llama? That's disgusting.
I know.
And they sell them on the streets. In La Paz, birthplace of... Can you guess?
Birthplace of... I don't know.
Pancho from the Flats.
Wow, is that where he was born?
Yeah.
And then he came over to the UK?
Yeah, when he was just a baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's a skipper.
And he's got an interesting story, actually. He, right. His mother, God rest her soul, Hanara, she ended up... They came over from Bolivia, and she took a job working for quite a posh family as a housekeeper, right? And the young Pancho from the flats lived in a little, some sort of annex house with his mum on the grounds of this posh family. This is when they first came, when he was very young. And my brother, Cass, once told me a story that he reckoned Pancho told him, is that, like, he was a bit confused because he'd come from abject poverty in Bolivia and suddenly he was living with, like, a really semi-aristocratic family in England.
Yeah.
But they treated him quite nicely. And he adopted a goose that was on the grounds. They had some animals on the grounds. And he sort of became very friendly with this goose and it was, like, his best mate.
We're back to geese again. Fucking hell.
And then on Christmas Day, they were kind enough to invite Pancho from the flats and his mum, Hanara, to eat Christmas dinner with the family.
Right.
And Pancho was tucking into his meal and they said, "Are you enjoying your meal, Pancho?" And he said, "Yeah." And they went, "Are you enjoying the goose?" And he went, "Yeah."
Oh.
And they went, "That's your goose, mate."
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're fucking eating your best mate.
This.
And we wonder why Pancho's had mental health problems.
Well, exactly. I was just going to say that. This episode has escalated from the possibility of eating a dog's nose in the north.
To the reality. That was just, like I say, that was a flight of fancy. This is the reality.
Yeah.
Of a young lad from Bolivia coming to England, befriending a goose, and then that goose being fed to him.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
Mm.
There's one other
Pretty
thing.
Bad, I,
there's other, one other thing that's troubling me as well, which is that page 89 on the other side of this two page is a one that we've done before.
Is it
the illegal potatoes? And yet, remember
we don't remember the fetus.
Yeah, we didn't look at the llama fetus, which was staring us in the face.
Fucking hell! Different times, mate.
Fucking hell!
Different times. All right, I'm going to pick just one at random then to finish the
Dismissing the blob, are you?
No, not a page. A random story on page 89.
Well, we've done 89 already. We've covered it.
Oh, okay.
Let's get the blob in action again, see what can give us.
Give it a little whack. Last whack of the night, mate. Then you can go back to your cage.
198. We've done this one as well. What the fuck?
Oh, my God. This is the blob's fault.
Not too much, mate.
Or you'll have the social services round.
168.
We're from Blob Services. we're doing a surprise fucking visit to assess whether or not your rig is appropriate for blob keeping.
168. This is the one we've not done before. Thankfully.
I'm not keen on this bollocks.
I can't take my eyes off Santa Clauses. Yeah.
Yeah, 169 is much better because it's a butter sculptor.
It's a butter sculptor in Canada. And he has sculpted lots of things in butter, including, remember that IKEA monkey that wore the big coat?
Yeah.
The monkey that was found running around in IKEA. He's done a butter sculpture of the IKEA monkey.
Oh, that's nice. And they've got an arrow that says sculpting butter. So there is special butter specifically for sculpting.
Which to me takes
the edge off the whole enterprise because they go, yeah, I sculpt the whole thing out of butter. And you go, that's amazing. You make these incredible sculptures that are so detailed, right? Out of just normal household butter, like Lurpak or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sculpting butter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's that? It's a little bit closer to cement in consistency.
Mm.
So it's not butter at all, is it, you cunt? Put it this way.
Yellow
Can
cement.
I spread it on my toast and eat it? Nah, probably wouldn't be that healthy. It's not really made for eating, so it's not butter. It just happens to be fucking yellow.
Yeah.
Fucking bullshitter.
Yeah, it looked promising. It's delivered Very little.
Who's the guy in the chair holding two teddy bears?
That's Justin Trudeau. In yellow face rather than black face.
I thought it looked a bit like him.
Yeah.
But he looks much older.
He does, doesn't he? He might be his dad.
Yeah, because his dad was Prime Minister, wasn't he? In the 60s, 70s and 80s.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course he was, yeah.
Yeah, his dad was Prime Minister. That's what I was thinking. Could it be him? But no, it's not. It is
Sir John
Trudeau,
wasn't he?
Sir John Trudeau.
Yeah, the inventor of the
Justin Trudeau has he won, well, he sort of won his second term, but it ran really close and he lost his majority because people have gone right off him, partly because of blackface and partly because he's sort of championing of all the most liberal causes that there are has become sort of nauseating to a lot of people.
Too weird.
And so they kind of like the way he's running the country on the one hand, but they think he's a bit of an irritating cunt.
Yeah.
So he's a bit gutted about this, and he went on holiday to Costa Rica for Christmas, and he's come back sporting a salt and pepper beard.
Oh, right.
As
image
a sort of
change.
A statement. Yeah, he's sort of come back to say, I'm going to be more serious from now on.
Right.
So.
Like me dad.
Yes. I'm going to stop fucking just going on about legalising cannabis and allowing transgenderism all over the place.
I'm going to
start fucking knuckling
animals.
Down a bit. Doing proper prime ministering.
I'll start hunting animals and blacking up again.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for, eh?
Yeah.
Right, there's nothing else on that page. I've had a look. I don't like it. So okay. I think we'll call it a day.
Let's wrap it up. I think it's been a strong episode. And I do apologise for the things I said about that dog. I am a lover of dogs, and I would never eat one or endorse anyone else eating
one.
Well,
you know, with hindsight, that was really quite minor compared to some of the stuff that came later. So,
yeah, but the other stuff was just reporting stories.
Believe it or not, we
believe
all of it.
Panchos, believe it or not.
Oh, God. I'm going to be haunted by that. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back with more of the same soon.
TTFN, dickheads.
Keep it cunty.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.